Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
The Burt Show.
We get an email from a Burt Show listener who is suspicious now. Her husband might be messing around because he's got some suspicious charges on his credit card. So let us read. My husband recently told me that he was temporarily given a new position at work and that if he can prove himself in this job, it would become permanent and come with a pay raise. It also seems that this new position comes with a lot of traveling. So for the last 2 months, he's been traveling almost every other weekend and often midweek too. Well, we have a credit card. I never use it. It's a personal card, but he's always used it only for business expenses so that he can easily keep track of what he needs reimbursed. I got curious and figured out the login to the account, the online account.
Don't you love it when it automatically saves your username and password?
Yes. When I looked, I saw lots of charges for local stores and restaurants for dates when he was supposedly out of town. Also seems that these charges are not things he would get reimbursed. I not only see restaurant charges, but also grocery store charges, Target, etc. I also see no charges from anywhere out of town. It's as if he hasn't been out of town at all. So where is my husband going when he says he's traveling for work? Who is he with? Can you do a War of the Roses to see if he's seeing someone else?
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to chew on here. Yeah.
This is so suspicious. I mean, the fact that he's like, who's going to a grocery store when you're out of town? Like, anytime I'm like somewhere else for like whether it's work or just for fun, I'm not going grocery shopping. I'm going to like a fun restaurant.
Mm-hmm. So it says that there are grocery charges, but he didn't go out of town. So does that mean that he is like staying in with someone and getting food for them to hang out? That was where my mind got.
That's what I was thinking.
What's worse? If he is having an affair or if he just wants time away from her.
Oh, wow. And he doesn't have the guts to go, look, funny. I just need a little space
right?
here. Wow, like, which would be worse.
Like he's got an Airbnb or VR or whatever, or staying at a residence inn, and he's doing that by himself.
Well, I think the cheating is worse.
The affair would be worse.
But this is pretty deep.
I mean, if you need some space away from me, like, same here. Like, bro, I also want my space, too. I've been single for 26 years. Like, I also need a weekend. So, I mean, I would be offended if you wanted some space, but if you're cheating on me, you want some space and you want somebody else.
But space every other weekend and sometimes midweek, too.
That's a lot of space.
That's a lot of space.
And I wish we knew what the restaurant charges were. Does it appear that he's eating for one, for two, and what exactly he's getting from Target? That probably would get us a better idea of what's going on.
And he's an idiot for not getting a Target card because you get a percentage off your every time you go.
Foolish. All right, so let's stay here on space for just 1 second because I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg in a case like this. But I do know within my circle with the guys that I know, guys that need space are afraid to ask for that space because when they have done it before, their women will take such offense to it. Like, why would you want to do anything without me? Why do you want to go hang out with your friends? Why would you want to go spend a weekend away without me?
You don't love me anymore.
And there's so much guilt associated with it that they try to find. That's what happens when guys go to Target and they don't come back for 3 hours.
Why do you hate spending time with me?
with me.
They're driving around. We had a guy on the show 1 year that said that, yeah, he was going to Target for one thing, and then he would just drive around town for hours just because he needed his space. So I'm not sure which comes first here.
I mean, for me, I mean, I could spend 6 hours in Target, so I don't blame anybody who wants to go out and roam the aisles for 3 hours. But, I mean, I think sometimes when you feel trapped, it's sometimes worse than the actual like relationship. Like just the thought of like, oh my gosh, if you're married to someone, you're going to be with them for the rest of your life. So maybe he's just going through like a crisis and needs some space for a little bit.
And I think it also is where you are in the relationship. I think that determines a reaction. If it's early on, why you already need some space. Now, for myself...
See, if it's early on, I think that's where you got to establish you're a person that needs space.
I agree.
Probably, but that's still going to be a hard pill to swallow. Like, if my husband would have done it early on, that would have been devastating. If he did it now, I want to believe I'm a big enough person to realize he just needs some time to himself. I like time to myself. He is deserving of that as well, and that I would not take it personal. Now, granted... He can't ask me that 2 days before my period. But any other time, totally fine.
Well, when I was married, I was taking solo trips before I met my ex-wife. So they were grandfathered in. So it didn't seem strange. So I never had to really ask about a solo trip once I got married because I was doing it beforehand.
I've never heard of a married man being able to do that. I wish I had a marriage like that.
I think you got to get it grandfathered in.
That's the only way.
If you're single... Start taking those solo trips right now by yourself.
Okay.
Because eventually she's going to come along and you say, I've been doing it my whole life.
Yeah, you can't change it now.
The Burt Show.
Is it appropriate to celebrate a divorce? And if so, how do you go about doing that? I have very strong feelings about that.
My friend is getting a divorce and it is both a good thing and a bad thing. Good thing because he sucks. But bad because she's still very sad about it. Like they did get married. They made it to that point. So obviously there was love there. And she is sad, even though I am rejoicing. Anyway, so I want to know, I want to help my friend. I don't know what to do because I want to celebrate with her. And she is happy. It's like bittersweet, right? Like she's sad that the marriage ended, but she's also happy that this chapter is closing and is like it needs to close and need to be done. So I want to do something around it. And I don't know what to do because it feels very weird to celebrate a divorce. And I'm thinking of maybe like we celebrate a new chapter instead and a new beginning.
Focus on the positive rather than the negative.
But I also feel like that's strange. And we are very close. So it would be weird for me to like just not do anything, like not talk about it or address it. I don't know what to do. I don't know. I've seen people celebrate divorces. So I know divorce parties are a thing. I just don't know how to navigate the situation.
Do they have kids?
No.
Okay. Uh-huh. That does change things a little bit for me. So as a guy that's been through the divorce process, I felt like I certainly didn't want a party. That would feel really disrespectful for me. Like, woo, she's out of my life. No, she's the mother of my kids. She's never going to be out of my life anyway. How do I say this? And I'm sure that my ex felt the same way also. The divorce process is so stressful. The back and forth and so much stuff comes up from your marriage in the divorce that when it was finally said and done and over, and ours took a while, man. I don't know the exact time on it, but I think it was a year. Look, you go through this emotional thing like, I disliked her during our divorce in a way I didn't during our marriage, quite honestly. And this was all lawyers going back and forth with each other. So the relief that I felt after the divorce wasn't like, finally, I've broken away from her. It was just like, finally, this chapter is done and there's no more emails going back and forth and anger being built up and then fighting your ego the entire time. So it wasn't really a celebration of it being, of the marriage being over as much as it was the divorce process being over. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not the person that you're rejoicing. It's the pain that you're gone through in the process.
Oh,
like
God.
you're rejoicing that the process is finally over.
You know, when I hear of couples that are going through their divorce for 3 or 4 years or even 5 years, I can't even imagine because just the year I was going, it's on your mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like every time I would open up an email, I was wondering if I was going to get something from my attorney or while we were doing the show, I'm wondering like, I wonder if this is going to be over today. And then when you think you're close to the finish line, it's not. And it's just so taxing on your mind that when it's finally over, it's more of a celebration that the for me that the process was over.
So what did you want your best friends to do then? Or did they do anything for you? Or did you want them just to leave you alone about it?
During the divorce, I think that it was just being there, like being able to vent to my very, very closest friends. And then it was finally signed. My best friend flew out and he and I had a night out and drank our asses off. But it wasn't really so much a celebration, again, as it was just like a, because he went through the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it was more of a, God, it's just, I can move on, you know, and it's, I don't have to worry about this all the time. A big celebration and a party just feels...
That feels icky.
It feels disrespectful because they were married. They were in love with each other for a while.
But I see no reason not to take her out and to like take her out to a nice dinner, have drinks, with like a couple of friends. I just wouldn't make like a big spectacle of it.
So I should cancel the girls' trip with the strippers.
No, no, you should invite Abby and I.
Jess, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Cassie, your best friend knows how pure your intentions are, but to be able to do this, maybe you can do one of those, I do, I did, I'm done celebration, where you can kind of celebrate that you did have a chapter of your life, but you're also going on to a new chapter and have a little fun with it.
I love that idea. Maybe
that's,
we'll do that.
That's interesting.
I do, I did, I'm done.
That is super interesting. You just forget that, I mean, if the divorce is one where they hate each other and it's finally over, I guess I can understand a divorce party there, but it doesn't sound like this. Is this the case?
Yeah, there's contention there. Okay. Maybe. So I will just hire one of my photographer friends to take new Tinder headshots for her and we'll call it a day.
There you go. That's a great idea.
There you go.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
All right, Bree here. Listener Bree needs our help here because she's holding on. She's holding on. She's met a guy. She's feeling it. This dude is about to leave the city and she's wondering, how do I grab onto him before he takes off? How do I establish what we have? Hey, Bree.
Hey.
Good morning. Okay, so tell us about this dude. Tell us about the history, and you got a big old decision coming up.
Okay, so I met him 12 years ago when I got divorced. My sister introduced me to him. Things didn't work out between us back then. Fast forward to now, I was in a relationship, and it was a 10-year relationship, ended it, and reconnected with this guy. Well, I later find out he is going off to Africa for about, he doesn't know how long, but it's up to a year contract. I'm confused. I don't know what we are. So I don't know if I have to ask him what we are or just let it go and see what happens after a year. Or should I wait?
Just show up in Africa.
Hey, can he commute?
Yes.
He's really not showing a lot of commitment here. And is he's this, taking off. Okay.
But, okay. So what? he's taking off. Isn't this something like, all right, Bert and Mo, like, this conversation is his responsibility. Like, he knows that they're... Like, if you're the person who is leaving, isn't it on you to bring this up and have this conversation with your significant other as to what the future of your relationship is going to be while you're in Africa for the next year?
If you're into it.
So it's back to what I was going to say.
Go for it.
I think it is your responsibility if you want to have it. I mean, if you don't want to define it for whatever reason you do not, I don't think you bring it up. I think you, if it doesn't, it's kind of, we're across that bridge if it comes. But... I would say, yes, I do agree with you. If you are into the relationship and you are leaving, you should bring it up.
Bree, when is he planning on taking off?
He has not got the email yet.
Okay, so
he's
maybe...
So it's we're talking about days or weeks before he's got to make that decision?
He was supposed to leave back in January, and it got postponed.
Okay, so he's showing you and telling you everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're trying to like, well, what is this relationship? What is it not? Kristen and Mo nailed it. I mean, if he was really into it, he would have already had this conversation with you. So he's going to take the job. He's not as serious about this as you are, or he would have already brought it up.
Well, I think there's something to be said about the fact that there's not a leave date yet. Yeah. I think most guys I know in their mind are just kind of like, well, I don't know when I'm leaving yet, so I don't need to have the hard conversation yet.
The longer they can put it off.
The longer they can put it off, the better.
That's for sure. Way back in the day, I was dating somebody, and we were in a relationship, and I was planning on going to University of Miami. I got accepted, right? And I was all excited about it, and like 3 days later, she's like, so you're going to Miami, and I'm going to be here in San Diego. What are we doing? And then she said, I'll tell you what we're doing. We're breaking up. And she was right.
I unfortunately never went to Miami and lost a really good girl.
Yeah, if I'm being honest, and I'm in a situation like this, and I know that I'm going very far, if I want this relationship to remain, then it's the first conversation I'm going to have. But if I'm kind of iffy about it, I probably won't have it until I'm boarding the flight.
All right, so Bree, if I were you, I would not say anything. And then once he has a date, and the longer go, if he doesn't say anything to you, I think that speaks volumes.
Or
I'd say something today, same way my girlfriend did back in high school. Spell it out. Like, all right, so you're heading out to Africa. If that's the case, then what are we going to do with the next 4 weeks? No. And then you've got to make a decision. Like, do you want to stay involved here knowing that it has an expiration date or cut it loose? I mean,
I'm too stubborn. It's his responsibility to bring this up. He's the one leaving. He needs to bring up this conversation.
But if you go that route and he doesn't bring it up and you're still going to talk to him, then you spend the next 4 weeks in limbo not really knowing what's going on.
Yeah, who's got that kind of time?
I think you got to bring it up, but you've got to go in with the lowest of low expectations. So if he does have an adverse reaction, kind of like, oh, well, you know, then you have already... one in my mind. Like, you brought it up, you got your answer, he was going to push things down the road, and you got to find out as soon as possible. So I say bring it up.
I don't know why I feel like she should just dig in today and just go, clearly you're going to Africa, you haven't said anything, so hey, it's been a really, really fun time. Thanks so much. Bye.
That's good, though.
I mean, why not?
That'll make him make a decision on the spot.
I mean, he's kind of already said that.
Yeah, he has.
How you feel about that, Bree?
I feel like I'm going to do it.
Okay. Okay.
Know your worth, queen. Know your worth.
I mean, I think I'll do. I think I'm going to wait for him to bring it up.
That's not what we take our celebration back.
I know, right?
She's team KK. She's team KK.
I feel like I'm Will Ferrell. Let's go streaking. And she's not behind me at all.
You are naked all by yourself.
You can wait.
Yes.
You can wait, but you're still going to have it open-ended for the next 4 weeks, which is what you called us with initially.
Okay.
Go break up with his ass.
No.
It's a virtue.
Thank you.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else, or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The Bert Show.
If something happens to you, you pass away, who do you trust with all your information online? Is this a no-brainer? Would it be your significant other, the first person that checks everything when you pass away? Is it somebody else? That is causing a huge debate online right now.
It is, because apparently a lot of people were unaware of the feature that Apple has on iPhones called the Legacy Contact, which basically gives someone that you trust access to your phone in case of your untimely demise.
And I love this.
Yeah. So they will have access to your photos, your messages, your notes, your files, your apps that you've downloaded, device backups, and more. Certain information like movies, music, books, or subscriptions you purchase with Apple. The only thing that it will not give people is payment information, passwords, and passkeys.
Oh, well, then never mind. They need passwords. Because as soon as I'm gone, I want all my stuff shut down.
Yeah.
I want the Instagram gone. I want the Facebook gone. I want X gone. I want all of it gone.
Well, you'd be able to put like all of your passwords in an app that's locked that only they would have access to. So you could still do that if they're your legacy contact.
Gotcha.
Well, you live a pretty clean life. So, of course, this would be your husband in this case because you're not worried about everything he's going to see once you pass away, right?
Correct. Yeah.
But there are others that are like, wait a minute. Do I want my wife to see all that?
So what a lot of people's, I don't want to say excuse, but reasoning was, it seemed online, was they wouldn't want to give their significant other, like their legacy contact, not necessarily because of anything that they're doing during the relationship, but there are things in their phone from before or just little small things that they just necessarily don't need their significant other to ever know in case this was ever the case. So a lot of people were like, if I'm being honest, I'd give this to my best friend before I gave it to my wife or my husband.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't delete anything. I don't delete text messages, nothing. So my phone goes back in the day. And if I were the legacy contact for my husband and he had an untimely passing, you better believe, out of sheer missing him, I would go through his phone just to kind of, like, have him as an extension of him.
That's dangerous. That's dangerous. I would also have it be my significant other, right? But my fear would be maybe not what's in there, but how it is interpreted. And at that point, you don't have any way to defend yourself if there's any gray area in there whatsoever. Who knows how it's going to be interpreted? That might make me nervous.
I don't have a legacy contact, and I don't think I'm going to add anybody. Just because nobody needs to get on my phone, shut that thing down, throw it in the ocean like the lady did at the end of Titanic. Nobody, like, leave my Instagram pages up. There's no information on there that anybody would need to get for any reason. So
you're dead, you're dead. Your info dies with you.
Amen to that.
Okay.
I think I would give it to my best friend.
Yeah?
Yeah, simply because I know my best friend is not going to go looking through my things, and I know my lady would. She would go through every corner of that phone and find things from 10, 15 years ago that, that could stay where it is.
Yeah,
because
right.
Because she misses you, and she just wants to look at pictures of you.
Yeah, that's what she would use
as the
excuse.
She ain't
going
to miss me after she gets to some of them. I want her to miss me.
All right, our intern Annalie had a great idea. A great idea for the next time that she gets pulled over by a cop. And it happened, but did she execute? All right, let's reset this.
Yeah, a month ago, I came on here and I was overconfident about my idea. You know, I thought that if I got pulled over, I would spray fart spray all in my car and tell the police officer that I had to poop really bad, and then that would get me out.
And if you have ever smelt the fart spray, it lingered. I mean, it's a heck of a sacrifice because you're going to mess up your car for days, if not weeks. It doesn't go away.
It's awful. And I thought, you know, I would just commit to the bit and I would full send it and it'd be okay. But at that point, I had never been pulled over before. But this past Sunday, I was driving, my windows were down, I was listening to music, and a cop pulls out behind me with their lights on. And originally I noticed it, but I was like, oh, it's not for me, like I'm not doing anything wrong. And then I turn right and he turns right, and then I was like, oh no, like he's for me, like he's coming for me. And I still like didn't really know for sure. And I look over and there's a restaurant like on my college campus, and there was a bunch of guys outside, and they start going, oh my God, like she's getting pulled over. And that's that's what got me. That's how I knew I was really getting pulled over. It was them. And so I pull over and I'm shaking, like my entire body is shaking. I'm so scared. And he comes to my window and he's like, ma'am, I clocked you going 48 in a 25. Uh-oh. And I was like, oh no.
But before he walks up again, you had had this. So you knew, but at that point you had to make a decision. Am I going to spray this fart spray or am I not? So, and you just opted not to.
So you have it in the car.
I do.
You do.
Yes.
Okay.
And I like forever, I was like, I'm going to do it. And I like kind of not like that I wanted to get pulled over, but like I knew I had a way out just in case. But I was freaking out and I like it crossed my mind and I was like, no, I can't do it.
Because we all have been there. Like you go into panic mode. Like my legs turn to jello and all of a sudden, like, you know, your arms tighten and I'm not going to talk to the black man.
Imagine.
That's how he feels.
You don't feel anything when you black. Everything goes numb.
But as a fellow white girl over here who's had cops pull her over before, like you do, like and even when it's not for you, when you see those lights behind you, like your whole body just tenses, your legs turn to jello. And so
I'm sure the last thing you were thinking was, oh, I got that fart spray I need to spray.
Well, it did cross my mind, but my problem at this point was I had so much anxiety, I already felt like I was going to throw up. If I sprayed that fart spray in there, I'd be vomiting everywhere. it would not be good.
I mean, another way to get out of the ticket.
I mean, that's true. So he asked for my ID and I give it to him like shaking and he walks back and he's gone for like 10 minutes with my ID. And at this point, there's so many thoughts going through my head. I'm like, is there actually a warrant out for my arrest? Like, what's going on here? Like, why is it taking so long?
Well, I mean, 48 and a 25, that's...
I know.
You almost doubled the speed.
I thought it was a 45. I really did.
That would have changed everything. Yeah,
but he ended up letting me out of the ticket. Oh, he didn't give me a ticket. I didn't even have to use the fart spray.
This is the second story on the show now where two white folk got out of their tickets.
No, don't mind me. Just pretend like I'm not here. Continue.
Thank God it's March and it's not February anymore.
You're right.
So the dude lets you out of the ticket. Yeah, and what does he say? Just like, hey, just...
He was like, just to let you know, like, this road, it's like all of 25. And I was like, okay, like, thank you. I thought it was a 45. I'm so sorry.
Is it possible? Do you think that we could have a police officer call in and throw us just throw us a bone and say, like, what is... If a cop was going to let you out of a ticket... What's the best thing you can do to make that happen? Like, there's no official, I don't know what determines them letting you go and what not, but 1-855-BIRD-SHOW. If you're a police officer, we'll put you on the voice disguiser. Can you put yourself at an advantage doing something that would make the police officer more eager to just say, okay, just go off with a warning. Sorry about this combo, Mo. You can leave the studio if you want.
Yeah, y'all have at it.
I almost said this one out.
Because you would have said, change my pigment?
Yep. Yeah. About the only thing I could do.
So the last time we got pulled over, we were traveling down to Florida for a vacation. And so Bart's driving his truck and I'm in the back seat with our toddler in a car seat, and we got pulled over and Bart was allegedly speeding or whatever, and they didn't let us out of the ticket. And I really thought, like, us watching freaking Bluey in the back seat,
I don't know what determines getting out of it and what doesn't. I told you guys I was on my way to Athens, UGA, one time with my dying dog in the back in my Bronco, right? And I get pulled over by a cop because I got too close to the police officers that had pulled somebody over and I didn't slow down enough or didn't get in the left lane.
You gotta move over, baby. Mm-hmm.
So a cop pulls me over and he's talking to me and he starts complimenting me on my truck and how he wants to get a Bronco. And I tell him about my bulldog in the back. And he's like, oh my God, I love bulldogs. I'll be right back. And I'm like, man, I just buttered this dude up so much, man. I'm not getting this ticket. He's like, that is a great Bronco, but here is your ticket. And there have been other times where I've just been nice to the dude and they have let me go. So I don't know if there's...
I think it really just depends on the officer.
Yeah.
I think it's luck of the draw. Yep. I think it's, you know, obviously if they're looking up your stuff and what they see on your record or whatever, and just depending on their mood. And because I've always heard, is there or is there not a quota?
We've had police officers on before saying there's no quota.
There's no quota.
But okay. What are they going to do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here, we're going to call him Eddie, and he is on the voice disguiser. Eddie, throw us a bone here. Are you a police officer?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Is there anything people can do that would encourage a police officer more to let you out of a ticket and give you a warning?
It's on an individual basis. With cops, just relax. That's all it is. It's not like what you see on TV. Just be cordial. And more likely, they're going to let you out. Once you start being a a-hole, it goes downhill from there.
Yeah, sure. But there's nothing there. Like, if she broke out the fart spray she was talking about, would you as a police officer let her have go?
She's probably going to get a few tickets.
A few tickets?
A few now.
I got to get rid of it.
Because I had to smell it.
Matt here is a police officer also. Matt, is there anything you can do to, like, I don't know, just gently suggest or make it easier for a cop to get you out of a ticket?
Honestly, no, but it depends on the officer. Like, I've let people go before because they had, like, screaming cross goblins in the back seat, and I can just tell that they were not having a good day, and I felt that in my soul, so I was like, hey, y'all just go ahead.
So I should have pinched my toddler to make him scream.
That's it, right under the tricep.
Oh, that,
right
like,
there. Yeah. So you got kids in the car just to slightly abuse them.
We're kidding. We just had a police officer on the phone. He said that.
Just a little pinch. It's the Bert Show.
The Bert Show.
All right, Abby, so you got some questions about family here. Either show up or don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you know anything about my family, which you don't, which is why I'm going to tell you now, is that me and my brother have a very estranged relationship. He does his thing, I do my thing, but I know that if I'm getting a text or a call from him, I know that there is one thing he's going to ask me. So a little bit of a backstory. Me and my brother weren't very like close growing up. We never really bonded as siblings do. But every now and then we'll have a fun little kiki moment. Like we have things that we'll bond over. Like we both love old fashion. So over the weekend I texted him and I was like, hey, I'm looking at this old fashion on Yelp.com. Do you think this looks good? I know we only like it a certain way. And he was like, don't get the old fashion. I was like, okay. So a couple weekends ago, he gives me a call and I'm like, oh, I know this could only be for one thing. Because he only reaches out to me when he needs one piece of advice. And it always has to be something girl related, which I find very interesting because mm-hmm. it's like he becomes a completely different person. Like we go from not talking for months. Like I see him at all the major holidays and then all of a sudden I get a call from him and it's like he wants to divulge the most vulnerable part of his life. So I get a call from him a couple weekends ago. He's like, Abby, I'm seeing this new girl. I really like her. She's really great. Blah, 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 blah. What should I do? And I'm sitting there and I'm just overthinking it to the nth degree because I'm like, this might be the one time I hear from him in the next 6 months. Don't screw it up. If this doesn't work out, he's going to blame it on me. So I'm sitting there texting him and I'm like, oh, you should say this to her. Oh, I've just stalked her Instagram profile. I see that she's really into turtles. Maybe like do a little turtle emoji so she thinks it's like fate or something. And don't forget to text her right at like 444 because if she's into like woo-woo astrology, she'll think it's a sign. Numerology, she'll think it's a sign. So I'm giving him all this advice. And I'm just sitting there praying to God. I'm like, I hope this relationship never ends so that I can continue to talk to my brother forever. And then I always know when the relationship ends because then I stop hearing from him.
Aww.
So last week I was like, I'm sitting there. It's like 2 p.m. I'm waiting for my little text from my brother to be like, what's he going to ask me about this girl now? And it's just dead silent. So I'm like, let me send him a text. So I send him the question about the old fashioned and I don't hear anything from him. And I call my mom and I'm like, oh God, they broke up. They're not dating anymore. But it is the one time I will hear from him is just if it's for a girl. And I wish he would call me for other things, but I don't know how to get him to do that.
Yeah, I'm always a little nervous about asking you about your relationship with your brother because I always kind of feel like you're on brink of tears.
No, I'm fine.
Okay, so I can ask that.
Oh my God, please say that. Oh, that was so brilliant.
I'm fine.
So I can ask you or I should
yes,
not?
Yes, you can ask me.
Okay. So are there things that you will reach out to him for to try to keep some kind of connection and how does it make you feel when in this one area he hits you up but in no other areas?
Well, it's kind of an honor because to me, for him to open up about women or girls, to me, that's a very vulnerable thing. Like I never go to him for guy advice, mainly because he wouldn't have any. But to me, that's like a very, like sensitive thing to talk about. You know what I mean? It's not like he's texting me about Taylor Swift or artists or anything. It's like a personal part of his life. Mm-hmm. So when he texts me with those things, I feel really, really honored. I think for me, I have kind of realized that if I text him, I'm usually not going to get a text back. Or if I am, it's going to be like hours later. So I just kind of accept what he's willing to give.
Good for you.
And that's kind of how we've sustained our relationship. And that's just kind of what I realized. It is what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm used to accepting the bare minimum for men. So this is really nothing new.
Is this a mostly brother-sister relationship, like pretty typical? Or do you think yours is different?
I think it's, oh, it depends. Like, most of my friends, weirdly enough, I don't know if this is like a trend, but all my friends have sisters. So I don't know if I'm like a, I'm drawn to people who are really good at female relationships, because I grew up mainly around like men. I grew up around like a lot of boy cousins, and I grew up around my brothers. So I'm more used to communicating with men, just like very like short sentences and grunts and, you know, not used to like a lot of like emotional talk. From what I know about other people's relationships with their brothers, it's not as estranged, if you will.
Mm-hmm. In an ideal world, would you guys talk every week?
Maybe not every week, because I don't even really talk to... I talk to my mom every day, but she's like the only person I consistently keep contact with. For my brother, I would like to hear from him, like, you know, maybe a text once a week. We don't need to hop on the phone, mm-hmm. but if he sends me like a little meme where it's like, haha, laugh funny, like we could, I would be nice to, mm-hmm. to kiki with him a little bit more and just know that he cares about me.
You and your brother have never had this kind of relationship, right? You guys have always been close.
Yeah, I mean, and... Yes, I say we're close. We don't talk every day. We don't even talk every week. Sometimes we don't talk every other week. And I mean, that's just life when you have a career, when you have multiple kids, like stuff like that happens. But we do go out of the way. Like when I go home to Kentucky multiple times a year and spend time with him, spend time with my niece and nephews. We have a family vacation. We try to do a family vacation once a year. So we have a family vacation lined up in May. So we're all going to get to see each other. We are tight. It is different than what Abby and her brother have. I feel like, and I don't want to speak on your brother's, the relationship you have with your brother. I just feel like my brother and I, it's a little easier. It's
less complicated.
Yes, it's less complicated and it's a little easier.
Yes, it's I would describe it as complicated because there's love there. Like I know he cares about me, mm-hmm. and I cared like deeply about him. But I don't know if it's just like the way that we're raised, or like maybe we both have issues with just relationships, period. And so when those two awkwardness kind of come together, it's just sort of weird. But every time I get that call from him and every time there's a girl in his life, I do kind of see a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, this is how normal people behave in their relationships with their siblings. Like, it feels so great. And so, yeah, I'm hoping he finds another girl soon.
Mo, with your did your parents make sure that it had to be a priority for you to stay connected to your sisters?
Yes. And I would say, like, and more so the earlier times of our relationship, because it's a little different for me because I'm so much older than my sisters. I'm like 10 years older and 13 years older. So I think in the beginning when we were like younger, that was important to my mom, that I was that kind of older brother that was there, that was around, that was communicating. But throughout the years, we've always remained close to the point where when we see each other, it never changes, but the communication always changes. Sometimes mm-hmm. there's phases in life where we'll speak like once a week. Sometimes it'll only be a couple times a month, depending on what everybody's individually going through. But the communication has always kind of been inconsistent, but the love and the connection is always the same.
Same.
All right, so some weekend drama here. Her ex is on Tinder. She knows this, and she's wondering, should I meddle here a little bit and tell his new girlfriend or not? Okay, Cassie's got the email.
My ex and I broke up last fall. Since then, he's been in a relationship with a former friend of mine. Mm. I can't be certain, but I'm pretty sure they were probably hooking up before we broke up. Needless to say, we're no longer friends. Another friend of mine sent me a screen capture. She saw my ex on Tinder, and the picture is recent. He used to always have longer hair, and he cut it short a couple of months ago, and he has short hair in the Tinder picture, which means he posted it after we broke up and after he was already in a relationship with my former friend. So I know he's no longer my problem. However, he was a real a-hole to me when we broke up, and the fact that she was dating him or started dating him right after we broke up means she is a backstabbing friend. So I feel like him looking to cheat on her by searching for girls on Tinder is karma coming back to get her. And me sending her a screen-captured proof would be karma coming back to get him. I know I'm creating drama by getting involved, but I really, really want to do it. Would you all do it?
Abby, you're the meddler in these relationships. You've said that before when it comes to your friends.
I'm a little bit of a meddler, but here's the thing. She's an ex-friend. Mm-hmm. And to me, once you cut me out of your life or you do something to where I've got to cut you out of my life, I want nothing to do with you. I'm not one of those people that if we're on bad terms, I'm going to like continue to look at your Instagram stories or continue to talk to our other friends about you. Like once we're done, we're done. So if I'm in this situation, like honestly, I do not want to invite more chaos into my life, because then she's going to start drama with other people that you know about what Abby did. She sent the screenshot and she's trying to break up me and my relationship, saying that, like, it's just going to invite so much unnecessary drama. I think you got to let it go.
I think you doing that just makes you look bad. I don't think it makes him look bad. I don't think it makes her feel bad. I think it just makes you look like a jealous ex-girlfriend. So you just need to sit back and sit in what you know and feel good knowing that these two deserve each other, and he's going to screw her over, and that's going to happen at some point in time. But you don't need to force it. There's been so many times that I've wanted to say something, like I wanted to scream my truth from the rooftop, and then I remembered it'll show. It'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
It might not happen on my time, mm-hmm. but it'll happen.
I agree with that. I think that life throws chaos in front of you naturally when you don't ever expect it. So creating chaos to me is so exhausting. And this is just creating chaos.
100%.
Is it creating chaos, or is it the universe's little gift to you to help you get some justice? Maybe I'm a petty patty, but I say send it and say, hope our friendship was worth it.
I don't like that karma on me, man.
Why is that karma on you?
I'm with Kristen.
You're just filling in your friend that she's being stepped down on.
It's not my business anymore. Yeah. It's not my business at all anymore. And I just feel like Kristen said, you throw that negative karma out. I really do believe that the universe balances things out. And this is going to come back to haunt her at some point.
Like, I feel like this is the universe's way of letting you know you're better off without them. Not that you need to intervene and like sabotage. Like, that's going to happen. Again, may not happen on your timeline, but it's going to happen.
You guys are too adult. I don't like
if this is a gift from the universe, it's a gift wrapped turd. You do not want to unwrap that. You're not getting a gift out of this. You're only inviting more drama.
Now, that said, you're going to do what you want anyway. This is one of these emails where you are hoping that all of us would go, yeah, get her! You didn't hear that, but you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, get her!
There, you got one. 25% of the studio is on it.
This is The Burt Show.
You ever had a dream that was so frightening, you woke up and felt like the universe owed you an explanation?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's jarring to wake up like that.
I mean, it's full of sweat. And I was like, typically I have nightmares. I have nightmares all the time.
Really?
All the time. I don't know why. Ever since I was a kid. And it's always dreams that when you wake up and you look back on it, logically, you're like, I should have known that was a dream. But when you're in it, it just feels really scary. And it's always, I'm always like running, but I can't run. Mm-hmm. Or I have a weapon, but it doesn't work.
Right.
I'm in a fight, but I can't move my arms. It's always something like that. And normally I either forget them, or when I wake up, I don't even worry about them because it was clearly just a silly dream per se.
You ever catch yourself like yelling in your dreams and it wakes you up?
Yes.
Almost whimpering?
Yes. 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 I try not to tell people about those because those are embarrassing. This particular one, it was, I don't know if it was that it was scary or that it was scary, but it was more like the specificness of it. And it still to this moment doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I will say this. I think I got to stop watching the crime docs at night. Kristen, you know we share this.
Yes, we do.
I think I have to stop.
I was watching Dateline last night to go to bed, trying to figure out if this woman was really kidnapped or not.
See? I like literally go to sleep to this stuff. And I end up falling asleep. And for some odd reason, I'm in a car and I'm with a friend of mine who I haven't seen in years. And I'm with another guy whom I don't even know. I don't know who this person is, but in the dream, we appear to have been mutual friends somehow. And he's in the front of the car. I'm in the back of the car. My friend is in the passenger seat of the car. And it's an older car. I remember this part specifically because it was my first car. It's like an 80-something Toyota Camry. That's what the car is. And mm-hmm. it's a gold car. And we're in this car today, right? And this still feels like normal to me.
Gold Camry, man. Now you just sound like you're bragging.
So we're driving, and then we're driving for a long time to the point where in the dream I can feel myself saying something's not right. Like, why are we driving this far? Why is no one talking? It just feels weird. And then we go past, like, these fields, and I'm kind of just looking out of the window into the fields. It almost feels like I'm by myself, but even though these people are with me. And then we get into, like, this place it seems like a maze. It's some kind of maze. And when we get out the car, they're saying, like, all right, guys, we're going to go have fun in this maze. And when you see it from the outside, It kind of looks like if you've ever seen that meme with The Weeknd when he's like, it's a bunch of mirrors and he's trying to find out which way to go.
Uh-huh.
It gives that, but it's dark and it's no mirrors. It's like a little bit of light, but it's pure darkness. So my friend gets out the car first and he says, all right, I'm gonna catch y'all later. And he just walks away. So now it's awkward because like that was my friend. Why is he leaving? I don't even really know this other guy. So the other guy gets out the car and he just stands there and he's like staring at me through the window. So I get out the car like, what are we doing? And he's like, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to disappear into the maze. So I'm like, what? You going to do what? So he's like, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to disappear into the maze. And I'm like, and then what? And then he says, well, if I find you, it's not going to be good for you.
Oh, damn.
Just like that. So I'm like, hold up, bro. Like, let's discuss. I don't even know you. Like, what could I possibly have done that you put me in this? And he goes, 29, 28, 27.
Starts counting.
Just starts counting down. So I'm like, we're not going to talk about this. Like, we're not going. And then I start calling out to my friend. And he turns around and he looks at me. And then he turns back around. He shakes his head. And he just keeps walking.
Like he knows something bad's about to happen to you.
He knew exactly what was about to go down. He just wanted to get far away from it as possible.
Sounds like something Keon would do, your friend.
It does, actually.
In real life.
No. You're on your own on this one. Hey, bro, you got 20 seconds. He would probably be asleep.
I was about to say, no, Keon would not be in the car because he would be 2 hours late.
He would definitely have been late. So then as the guy gets to like 24, 23, I realize, okay, there's no negotiating here. I got to find my way out of here. So I try to go beyond the maze, but I realized that if I were to run straight, like, he was just going to follow me. So I thought, okay, maybe my best bet is to actually go into this maze. So I go in the maze, and I can hear his voice, like, coming behind me, counting down, and it just keeps counting down. And no matter how I run or which way I go, his voice just keeps getting closer and closer and closer. And then when he gets down to about 5 or 4, I feel myself just panic. And just let go. Like, I was like, I can't get out of this. Like, there's nothing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I stop, I turn around, and as I turn around, he's looking at me, and he goes to pull something out of his jacket, and I never got to see what it was, because as soon as he pulls it out of his jacket, I hear, like, this explosion sound, and then I just wake up. And I'm, like, sweating, and I'm breathing heavy, and I genuinely feel like this just happened to me because my adrenaline is rushing and it's pumping. And I started looking it up to see, like, what this could possibly mean, and I got nothing. But
I just did the same thing.
Did you?
Wondering, like, what a maze. So I just, in a quick Google search, somebody says dreaming of a labyrinth or maze could mean that someone will deceive you, but also that some past experience has affected you badly and it still brings you suffering, which means you will have to deal with this in the near future. If in your dream you are lost in a labyrinth and you do not manage to come out before your dream is over, a long trial may happen in your waking life. If you manage to get out of the labyrinth, but it took you very long, a difficult thing in your life needs to be solved right away.
That's if I got out.
That's if you got out, but you didn't.
I didn't get out.
You so die every time.
Every single time.
Every time.
Every time. That's interesting, though. The part you said about me having things in my life that have been bothering me for a long time that I need to figure out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably it.
Guaranteed.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's right. The one.
This is The Burt Show.
I'll tell you what's a total waste of time. Spending an entire hour in a gym trying to get in shape. We don't need to do that.
No.
It was years ago where, was it like Abs of Steel or 8-Minute Abs came out, and then another company's like, 8 minutes? That's way too long on your abs. We'll do 7 minutes.
And then another company came out and says, 7?
Yep.
We can get you down to 5.
And then somebody else came out and said, 1 plank is fine.
Yeah.
Kristen is on this plan. and she has solicited my help to try to get a little bit more muscle on her because her doctor is saying, look at you.
Well, so it's not technically my doctor. I went to a wellness facility. I'm actually trying to get to the bottom of this whole UTI situation. And then when I walked in and I was getting checked in, they asked if I wanted to do a body analysis. And I was like, yeah, sure. Let's see how bad, you know, all this is.
You didn't look in the mirror and go, I'll give you a body analysis. I look damn good.
I said, <here. laughs> is there a line on there for a hot mess? Because I feel like that's where I am right now with the amount of antibiotics coursing through my veins.
Yeah.
So we did the body analytics, and some of the stuff I understand, some of the stuff I don't. What I really liked about the nurse practitioner, I know, Cassie has talked about this on the air. BMI is kind of BS.
It really is.
It's a kind of a flawed, archaic way of figuring out your body fat, mass, blah, blah, blah.
It's body mass index. And it's a very generic chart that says if you're this height, you should be this weight. Yeah. And you just can't do that because it doesn't take in a whole bunch of different things into account. It's ridiculous. But we like things simple. So the government's like, just give them this. That'll be a decent guide.
So as soon as we go over the body analysis, she's like, we're not even going to pay attention to BMI, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I like you already because you get that. And then she started going through all this other stuff. And there were three lines. And she wanted the second line to be the longest, which is strength. Muscle mass. Mm-hmm. And that currently is the shortest right now. I'm weak.
You're in the negative.
Yes.
It said you had no muscles.
I'm weak. I have some. I carry a toddler around. So I need what she would like to see is for that line to increase. And she suggested I incorporate strength training into my workouts. I do hot yoga twice a week. And she was like, you know, that's great. But I would like to see, you know, you incorporate some strength training. And she, because this is what I latch on to, because I like the easy way out. She's like, honestly, you know, just your body, your own body weight. It doesn't have to be actually like lifting weights, your own body weight. And 10 minutes a day could actually make a huge difference or could go a long way to a certain point and then you'll have to increase. And I was like, 10 minutes a day, my own body weight. Got it. So
there was also another stipulation in there besides 10 minutes.
Well, after we started talking, I asked you, I really don't want to sweat.
And there's the problem.
I don't want to lift. Like, I don't want to have to, like, I don't want to have to buy weights. I don't want to. You started talking about these resistance bands. I'm like, no.
You don't want anything to resist.
I don't want anything to resist. I don't want to have to use anything. I want 10 minutes, easy. Preferably not sweating.
You're adorable. All right. So Kristen comes to me because she's taking this very seriously. She didn't think about like going to somebody that she'd have to pay for. And she knows that this is like my hobby right here.
It's your jam, dude. You love this stuff.
Oh, my God. Fresh. I geek out, right? I can't read a book that's longer than 100 pages, but I have this biohacking book right now, and I'm like 350 pages into it. Right?
Nerd.
This is how I'm a total nerd when it comes to body science. When my labs come back, and it's giving me like my blood work, I'll spend 2 hours going through everything and then looking up online exactly what it means and then making adjustments. This is just what I love. This, if I had a hobby, this would be it. Life. trying to stay out of a coffin.
Trying to live.
Yeah, that's
a good hobby to have.
So Kristen asked me to help her out with a 10-minute non-sweating workout.
It's not a workout.
That's a challenge right there.
Here, it's not a workout. It's just 10 minutes of strength training.
Yeah, and it's a good start for you. I think your doctor's like probably saying, do 10 minutes here, and then in a couple of weeks when you realize like that's too easy, you'll bump it up maybe to 15, mm-hmm. and maybe we'll get one bead of sweat, and then maybe we'll go to 2 beads of sweat.
I mean, I can't begin to tell you, it was a beautiful day yesterday, mm-hmm. so I popped Jimmy in the stroller, and we did some serious walking. Granted, I walked to get sushi, but nonetheless, we did some serious walking, and there's this one hill, and we're going up this hill, and I'm pushing the stroller. And I'm starting to sweat. And I was so pissed because I had just taken a shower and I actually blow dried my hair. And I'm like, so help me if I start to sweat, be so mad.
This is so great. Just for comparison, yesterday I hopped on my bike and I biked to the stadium. The Braves Stadium yesterday and back.
Wow.
So this is a comparison for the two of them.
Yeah. All right? Yeah.
By the way, I did sweat.
Yeah.
Sorry. I did some research for Kristen, and I'm looking online for 10-minute workouts with what I've learned over the course of my entire life in a gym, and by God, I couldn't come up with anything myself. Just a 10-minute workout where you don't sweat, right? So
you can't just put it right in front of the AC? You wouldn't sweat, though.
Stand here.
Right here. Don't move.
We had to pump it on last night because it got so hot in the house.
It was beautiful yesterday.
So my favorite workout app is, and this is not, I'm not getting paid for this. This is what I use every single day. It's called Fitbod. And it's a free app. And it is so comprehensive that you enter the muscles that you want to work and for how long you want to work for also. You can also put in there if you have weights, if you're at a gym, if you don't want to use weights also, if you only want to use your body, which is called isometrics. And then you could plug in the amount of time you want to work out also. I use this every single day because the thing I hate is going to a gym and then trying to figure out what I'm going to do on a workout, because then you end up doing the same things over and over and over again. This thing is mindless. It tells you exactly what you got to do, how many times you got to do it, and then it tells you to move on to the next exercise.
So Bert texted me and he's like, hey, download this. And I said, hey, I downloaded it and I signed up. I told it that.
And that right there. It took you probably a minute, so that's only 9 minutes left in your workout.
Sweet. So I downloaded this thing. It asked me, you know, I filled out my profile, and it said available equipment, and I was like, none. I'm in my house. I'm not using anything. Like, I say,
nothing.
Nothing.
I don't even want to walk. I just want to, can you do this 10 minutes in bed?
Well, here's that. Therein lies the problem.
Oh, you have to get out of bed? Bed
I went to go choose the time. It doesn't do anything less than 30.
I have one for 15 minutes.
You do?
Yeah. So
okay, have to show me how to find it, because I tried to schedule like 10 minutes, and it was like, yeah.
Nah.
Nah, girl.
Nah.
You got to go at least 30.
No, here's one for 15.
Okay.
So your first assignment is a pulse lunge. You know how to lunge because you do yoga, right?
Correct.
So it's a little pulse action.
Okay.
I promise you, with the amount it's having you do, you will not break a sweat.
Got it.
Then you're doing an oblique crunch.
Okay. I know how to do those.
You know how to do those. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you're doing an alternating Superman for your lower back. You know what that is? You get on the floor and you just kind of lift your arms up.
Oh,
and
that's
your
back. A yoga pose too.
And it also, this app, I love it so much because it has videos on exactly how to do the exercise So, unfortunately, it's going to take 15 minutes. That's really going to mess you up.
Look at you already jacking me up from 10 to 15.
That's all. I mean, you don't have to follow all of them. It's saying do 4 sets of obliques. If you wanted to keep it at 10 minutes, you could do 3 sets. But this is a good starter kit for you.
All right. I will go 15 minutes.
You got to stretch, too, so that might buy you a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That's how we start every yoga class.
And the cool down, so then you can subtract a couple more minutes.
There is no cool down. She's not sweating.
She's not hot.
All right, so try it over the weekend. And I think that this is a really good introduction for you, because I think you'll go, hey, that was pretty easy.
And I hope there's other people out there who just want to use their own body weight, just want to start slowly building up some strength, who don't want to sweat.
It's the
non-sweaters unite. Let's do this.
I'm really interested. Come in on Monday and tell me what you think.
I will. I'm going to be honest, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's Kristen, it's 10, 15 minutes, and I'm looking at it. If you come in here and you go, that's too tough, I'm saying, I can't take the job. Right, find somebody else.
You're going to quit on me.
I'm quitting on you. I'm giving you a warning right now. Monday, we might be over.
You're on The Bert Show.